WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Washington, where the clock ticks toward a possible government shutdown, and Republicans in the House are still divided on a short-term fix. Correspondent Nancy Cordes has our top story.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who's still trying to coax this small group of GOP hardliners to accept a short-term fix that would keep the lights on in the government and keep federal workers from being furloughed. Government funding runs out on Saturday at midnight.
If it does, business analyst Jill Schlesinger says it could hurt the U.S. credit rating further.
Currently, Moody's maintains the highest rating possible for U.S. debt. Its two competitors, Fitch and Standard & Poor's, have dropped the rating by one notch.
President Biden will join the United Auto Workers president, Sean Fain, and striking union members on the picket line in Wayne County, Michigan today. Donald Trump will be there tomorrow, where he could hear from people like James Snow.
Both parties need to pay more attention to, do more to support us, and not just at election time.
Members walked off the job 12 days ago, demanding better wages, a four-day work week, and other benefits. Striking WGA members are expected to vote on a tentative contract agreement with Hollywood Studios starting today. CBS's Elise Preston is in L.A.
After nearly 5 months on the picket line, writers like Alex Zaragoza are greeting the news of a new contract agreement with more than just relief.
I immediately just had that, like, sobbing and just feeling so happy.
Union members are still only getting snippets of their new contract terms, which, if approved, would be locked in for 3 years.
California's governor has signed a bill banning school boards from rejecting textbooks. Here's correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Governor Newsom said the new law protects families and gives them the right to decide what's right for them. It bars school boards from banning instructional materials and library books because they provide inclusive or diverse perspectives.
No one won last night's Powerball jackpot.
That means another chance for you and even more money up for grabs. The jackpot's now an estimated $835 million. Your next shot at hitting all the numbers and striking it rich is tomorrow night.
CBS's Stacy Lynn, just in from Spain.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that.
Prosecutors have charged Shakira in a second tax evasion case. They claim she skipped out on more than $7 million on her 2018 income by using an offshore company based in the Bahamas. S&P futures down 25. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This season,
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The U.S. Department of Labor has awarded over $11 million in federal funding to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Wisconsin was among 18 states to receive the federal funding given in efforts to modernize the unemployment insurance system. The funding will give the state more tools to upgrade unemployment insurance programs, making the systems more accessible for users and better defending against fraud. Historians are racing to locate Great Lakes shipwrecks before a seemingly unstoppable invasive mussel destroys them. Quagga mussels are finger-sized mollusks native to Russia and Ukraine. They were discovered in 1989 in the Great Lakes, which touch 8 U.S. states and the Canadian province of Ontario. Now they have carpeted thousands of shipwrecks, layering themselves so thickly their weight could topple bulkheads and decks on wooden vessels. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, Tuesday morning, 6 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, and we've got 59 degrees with mostly cloudy skies in Hayward, 62 degrees in La Crosse right now, also mostly cloudy, and just before the break, we were discussing fracking, which is something that has catapulted the United States into the position of the world's largest oil and gas producer, surpassing Saudi Arabia. And I was going over this piece from the New York Times that says that monster fracks are getting far bigger and far thirstier. Giant new oil and gas wells require astonishing volumes of water to fracture bedrock, and they threaten America's fragile aquifers. And I was to the point in the story from the New York Times that says fracking, which is shorthand for hydraulic fracturing, has transformed the global energy landscape, turning America into the world's largest oil and gas producer, surpassing Saudi Arabia. Supporters say it has strengthened America's national security and created valuable jobs, but fracking has long been controversial. The process of cracking the bedrock by injecting chemical-laced water into the ground can lead to spills and leaks and can affect the local geology, sometimes contributing to earthquakes, which we've seen in several places around the country, including Oklahoma and Texas, Ohio and Pennsylvania. Critics of fracking say it is an irony that so much water is being diverted to produce fossil fuels, given that the burning of the fossil fuels is causing the climate change, further straining freshwater resources. The New York Times documented the surging water usage by examining an industry database in which energy companies report the chemicals they pump into the ground while fracking, but the database also includes details on their water usage, revealing the dramatic growth. The problem is particularly acute in Texas, where the state's groundwater supply is expected to drop one-third by the year 2070. And that may sound like far into the future. Keep in mind, a lot of people that are around right now will still be alive in the year 2070. As the planet warms up, scientists have predicted that Texas will face higher temperatures and more frequent and intense droughts, along with a decline in groundwater recharge. Some experts have warned that water issues could even constrain oil and gas production. In the western portion of the Eagle Ford, one of the state's major oil-producing regions, aquifer levels have fallen by up to 58 feet per year. A 2020 study by researchers at the University of Texas at Austin found, and fracking's water demands could result in further regional declines of up to 26 feet more. Since 2011, BP, the oil company, has dug at least 137 groundwater wells in Texas for its oil and gas operations and reported using 9.1 billion gallons of water nationally during the past decade. EOG, one of the country's largest frackers, consumed more than 73 billion gallons of water for fracking at the same time. Apache Corporation, Southwestern Energy, Chevron, Ovintiv, and other major operators also have intensified water usage, the New York Times analysis found. Oil companies require no permits to drill their own groundwater wells, and there is no consistent requirement that groundwater used for fracking be reported or monitored. As drought has gripped Texas and the surrounding region, many communities have instituted water restrictions for residents, even as fracking has been allowed to continue unabated. So they tell you that you can't water your grass, can't wash your car, but it's okay for these corporations that make millions and billions of dollars. It's okay for them to take the water from you. Getting back to the story, it says pockets of public resistance are emerging. In New Mexico, a coalition of tribes and environmental groups is suing the state, saying that fracking companies are using up precious water resources and that the state has failed to protect the interests of the residents. In Colorado, residents are fighting a proposed fracking project they fear would not just use up local freshwater resources, but risk contaminating a reservoir their community depends on. Holly Hopkins, an executive at the American Petroleum Institute, an industry group, said the industry was, quote, focused on meeting the growing demand for affordable, reliable energy while minimizing impacts on the environment, end quote. Its members, she said, were continuing to develop innovative methods to reuse and recycle the water used for fracking. Would you want to drink water that had been infused with chemicals sent down into the bedrock at super high pressure to bust up the bedrock? Would you want that water to be recycled and reused? Getting back to the story, in a statement, Apache said 80% of the water it used for fracking was either non-fresh or recycled from previous fracks. BP said it was, quote, executing several pilot projects to recycle water that would minimize freshwater usage. So they are pilot projects that are just starting. They still don't know how it's going to work out, evidently. There's the Chevron Corporation. They said that water was vital to its operations and that it aimed to use water efficiently and responsibly, saying that it used brackish or recycled water for fracking. Southwestern and Ovintiv did not respond to requests for comment. So in LaSalle County, down in Texas, where workers were drilling the water well last year that would supply BP, the local aquifers have already been strained by decades of pumping to feed crops and to feed cattle. The local groundwater district called Wintergarten estimates that fracking's water needs could surpass those of irrigation by the year 2030, though the oil industry's notorious boom and bust cycles could change that. And despite the new demand, Wintergarten has little say over the use of water for fracking, according to its rules. When moderate or severe droughts occur, people should stop washing their cars and restaurants should refrain from serving glasses of water unless a customer asks. But only during exceptional droughts, which are the worst droughts, do the rules extend to fracking. And even then, they merely discourage it. That's hard to believe, right? telling you that you can't have a glass of water in the restaurant, telling you you can't wash your car, but for the corporation that's making millions of dollars, they're fine to use the water. And getting back to the story, it says, similarly, in Laredo, a city on the Mexican border that recently imposed water restrictions, residents may water their lawns only 3 days a week and only at night. Laredo, which in recent years has become fracking territory, is facing an impending water shortage. By the year 2040, it's expected to exhaust the available supply of municipal water from the Rio Grande allocated to the city every year. Still, even during severe drought, fracking is excluded from city or state restrictions. Quote, this is Texas. If you're using water for oil and gas, it's considered exempt, said Ronald Green, a hydrologist who advises Wintergarten. So when fracking plans collide with drought, Dr. Green said, you just have to hope that if they're a good community-oriented company, they might decide not to frack that well till next year. Now, if it's a corporation that has a responsibility to make as much money as possible for their shareholders, then what are the chances that they are a good community-oriented company? Getting back to the story, it says it's happening, of course, because there is money to be made in oil. And for those with access to water, it can be easy money. Bruce Frazier grows onions in Dimmitt, Texas, one of the three counties that make up the Wintergarten Water District. But he also sells groundwater to a local fracking company for 50 cents a barrel. Given the growing size of fracks, Mr. Frazier said, quote, if you've got the water to sell, you're making a fortune. Wintergarten, Evergreen, Big Springs, the place names that dot Texas's parched plains, hark back to a time more than a century ago when groundwater was plentiful. Again, Wintergarten, Evergreen, Big Springs. Back in those days, you could just dig and the water would flow, said Bill Martin, a rancher and farmer who heads the Wintergarten Groundwater Conservation District, as he walked his land during a recent heat wave, his boots kicking up dust under a scorching sun. But that water, sometimes called fossil water, because scientists estimate that it pooled underground as long as 30,000 years ago. That water started to dry up as farms irrigated vast tracts of land. Farms that couldn't afford to drill even ever deeper started to plant less or shut down. Today, much of America's oil and gas comes from parched land like this. And now fracking companies are the ones scrambling for water. A 2016 report found that nearly 60% of the 110,000 wells fracked between 2011 and 2016 were in regions with high or extremely high water stress, including basins in Texas, Colorado, Oklahoma, and California. This is partly because of the increasing complexity and size of the fracked wells. Got to take a break. It'll be a quick one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 68. For tonight, scattered storms with a low near 60. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 67. On Thursday, partly sunny, 70 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 60 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in anger I challenged his right for the love of this maiden. Down went his hand for the gun that he wore. My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. A handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor. Just for a moment I stood there in silence, shocked by the foul evil deed I had done. Many thoughts raced through my mind as I stood there. I had but one chance, and that was to run.
That is a real Texas story for you. El Paso from Marty Robbins, born on this date in 1925. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. We've got 63 degrees with cloudy skies in Richland Center and 61 degrees with rain in Eau Claire. And just before the break, we were discussing this story about monster fracs going on in Texas and threatening the groundwater supply, the aquifers, not only in Texas, but other places like Colorado, Oklahoma, and California. I've got a little bit more of the story from the New York Times, and then we're going to move on to some full fascist rants by a former president. Stick around for that. And I were going over this story in the New York Times. It says here, this is one of the reasons why, well, I'll go back a little bit and give you this part here that says a 2016 report found that nearly 60% of the 110,000 wells that were fracked between 2011 and 2016, a five-year period, were in regions with high or extremely high water stress, including basins in Texas and Colorado, Oklahoma and California, This is partly because of the increasing complexity and size of the wells that are being fracked now. For example, one technique called horizontal drilling involves wells that stretch thousands of feet sideways, not just downward. In the Permian Basin, average well length grew to more than 10,000 feet in the first 9 months of 2022, compared with less than 4,000 feet back in 2010. It's because water is so fundamental to fracking that the longer wells typically require far more water. Quote, as the easier to extract areas are tapped to their full potential, you need to use more and more desperate measures, said A.J. Kondash, an environmental scientist at RTI International. That's a nonprofit research organization who has studied fracking's water use. The problem is actually twofold. Fracking companies are pulling more water out of the ground, and then after the fracking process, they must treat or dispose of millions of gallons of contaminated water, removing it from the natural water cycle. Some companies are making strides in reusing that fracking wastewater to drill for more oil and gas, but it's a small percentage. In the sprawling Permian Basin in Texas, the largest oil field in the country, just 15% of water used for fracking is recycled water, according to state estimates. The New York Times based its water use analysis on data from Frack Focus, a registry of chemicals used in fracking that is operated by two national associations of state agencies, the Groundwater Protection Council and the Interstate Oil and Gas Compact Commission. In 27 states, companies report the data to Frack Focus. That data revealed surging water use, even though the numbers, which are self-reported by industry, are sometimes incomplete. Dan Yates, who is the executive director of the Groundwater Protection Council, pointed out that the two agencies that run Frack Focus have no regulatory authority. The onus is on individual states, he said, to make sure operators disclose timely and accurate data. Rystad Energy, an energy research company, estimated that about 6 to 9% of fracked wells don't get reported to Frack Focus. Of course, water use by energy industries isn't limited to fracking. Water is important in oil refining and the cooling of power plants, and also plays a role in the mining of lithium and other minerals essential to the transition to cleaner energy. Oil companies say the industry uses substantial amounts of brackish water not suitable for drinking, though there is little systemic tracking of how much. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Sticking their dipstick in oil paint. I gotta check my baby's oil. Somebody's sticking their dipstick in oil paint.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Senate could take up a short-term spending bill today to keep the government from running out of money Sunday, but House Republicans still divided. In the event of default, business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Moody's warned that a government shutdown would hurt the U.S.'s credit rating. That credit rating is a scorecard on how able the country is to repay its debts.
President Biden set to fly to Wayne County, Michigan to meet with UAW President Sean Fain and striking workers.
If you take a look at the significant increase in salaries for the executives and growth of the industry, they should benefit from it. So, yes, I always support UAW.
Amid new signs of a COVID uptick.
As of yesterday, covidtest.gov is up and running again. The government wants to make sure everybody, every household has tests on hand ahead of the holidays.
Medical contributor Celine Gounder, hospitalizations are slowing. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A liberal watchdog group filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin against the secret panel of former state Supreme Court justices investigating the criteria for impeaching newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The watchdog organization is asking for a judge to order the panel to stop meeting behind closed doors. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who created the panel to investigate impeachment proceedings, says the complaint by the watchdog group is without merit. Wild American flamingos were seen in Wisconsin for the first time ever on Friday. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, the birds were spotted in Port Washington, Wisconsin on Friday, about 20 feet off the Lake Michigan shoreline. Wildlife experts say strong winds from Hurricane Idalia in late August may have pushed the flamingos north, as they've also been spotted in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Reason,
talking about playing in the band. It's music from Bob Weir on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far today. We've got 61 degrees with rain in Eau Claire right now, 62 degrees under mostly cloudy skies in Hayward, and 62 degrees as well in Amory with cloudy skies. And the next story that I want to get to is about the former president who now says that if he is reelected, of course, I'm talking about Donald Trump, if he is reelected and gets back into the White House, he wants to revoke the broadcast licenses of NBC and MSNBC. And you would guess that any place that criticizes him would also be in jeopardy of perhaps losing their broadcast licenses as well. And that's what we see from fascist dictators, right? You're not allowed to criticize the guy in charge in fascist countries. They'll come and get you. The story here from The Guardian says, full fascist Trump condemned after treason rant against NBC and MSNBC. The former president vows to investigate TV networks for country-threatening treason should he win U.S. election next year. This piece was posted late yesterday, last night. It says here, Donald Trump said Comcast, the owner of NBC and MSNBC, quote, should be investigated for its country-threatening treason and promised to do so should he be reelected president next year. In response, one progressive group said the former U.S. president and current overwhelming frontrunner in the Republican 2024 presidential nomination race had, quote, gone full fascist, end quote. The Biden White House said Trump threatened, quote, an outrageous attack on our democracy and the rule of law, end quote. The U.S. media was, here's a quote from Trump, almost all dishonest and corrupt, Trump wrote on his Truth Social platform on Sunday. And he went on and said, but Comcast, with its one side and vicious coverage by NBC News, and in particular, MSNBC, should be investigated for its country-threatening treason, end quote. Listing familiar complaints about coverage of his presidency, during which he regularly threatened NBC, MSNBC, and Comcast, Trump added, I say up front, openly and proudly, that when I win the presidency of the United States, they and others of the lamestream media will be thoroughly scrutinized for their knowingly dishonest and corrupt coverage of people, things, and events. Trump also used familiar terms of abuse for the press, calling them the enemy of the people and the fake news media. And if you're wondering how important a free press is to the United States, there's a reason why that the First Amendment covers the freedom of the press, and there's a reason why it's the First Amendment. Observers reacted to Trump's threat to NBC, MSNBC, and Comcast with a mixture of familiarity and alarm. In a statement, Andrew Bates, White House Deputy Press Secretary, said, quote, President Biden swore an oath to uphold our Constitution and protect American democracy. Freedom of the press is a fundamental constitutional right. To abuse presidential power and violate the constitutional rights of reporters would be an outrageous attack on our democracy and the rule of law. Presidents must always defend Americans' freedoms, never trample on them for selfish, small, and dangerous political purposes, end quote. Elsewhere, Paul Farhi, media reporter for The Washington Post, pointed to Trump's symbiotic relationship with outlets he professes to hate, given that only last week Trump was the featured interview guest last week on Meet the Press, the signature Sunday morning news program on NBC. Others noted that on Monday night, last night, the former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, a key witness for the House committee that investigated the January 6th attack on Congress, which Trump incited, was due to be interviewed on MSNBC. Quote, "Female political or media antagonists really cause blood to come pouring out of Trump's eyes," wrote Howard Fineman, a columnist and commentator, sounding a louder alarm. Occupy Democrats, a progressive advocacy group, said Trump had gone full fascist with an unhinged Sunday night rant. "There you have it, folks," it said. While Trump and his Republican enablers love to falsely accuse Democrats of weaponizing the government against Trump, Trump himself is now openly threatening to weaponize the presidency to completely remove entire news channels from the airwaves simply because they expose his rampant criminality. Juliette Kayyem, a Kennedy School professor and CNN national security analyst, pointed to a previous warning, quote, "To view each of Trump's calls to violence in isolation, he attacked Milley, or he attacked NBC, or he attacked the jury, the prosecutor, the judge, is to miss his overall plan to introduce violence as a natural extension of our democratic disagreement." Trump's rantings were also coupled with threats to General Mark Milley, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, whose attempts to cope with Trump were detailed in an Atlantic Profile last week. They come after a Washington Post poll gave Trump a 10-point lead over Joe Biden, who beat him in 2020 in a notional, maybe it's supposed to say national, 2024 general election matchup. The Post said the poll was an outlier, but Trump dominates the Republican nomination race and generally polls close to Biden despite facing 91 criminal charges for election subversion, retention of classified information, and hush money payments, and civil threats, including a defamation trial arising from an allegation of rape a judge said was substantially true. Another new poll from NBC showed Trump and Biden tied at 46%, but Trump up 39% to 36% if a third-party candidate was added. A person familiar with White House discussions about the prospect of a candidacy from No Labels, a centrist group, said it was concerning, NBC said. So it is concerning, I think, to most people who understand the Constitution and the importance of it, and the fact that it's only through a free press that we really find out what's going on. If all we had to watch or listen to was Fox News and right-wing conservative radio stations, we'd have no clue as to what's really going on. Obviously, the people that pay attention to those outlets don't have a clue, right? So the next story I want to get to, by the way, it's 9:44 right now. The next story I want to get to is about these forever chemicals, you know, the PFAs, that are now being found in animals in Wisconsin. So I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just updated 3 hours ago. It says here, as research on toxic forever chemicals continues, more is being learned about not only the impacts on humans, but on animals as well. So here's what you need to know. Have the PFAs been found in animals in Wisconsin? Yes. Sean Strom, a wildlife toxicologist for the Department of Natural Resources, said the PFAs that have been detected in a number of species in a number of species in Wisconsin, including bald eagles, fish, deer, white-footed shrews, mice, muskrats, and mink. And while you might not eat the bald eagles, the white-footed shrews, the mice, the muskrats, or the mink, there are a lot of people in Wisconsin that eat fish and deer that they catch or shoot, right? And those fish and deer, do they have forever chemicals in them, the ones that you are eating? Well, they may. So what kind of impacts do the chemicals have on animals? Just like in humans, it's really hard to pinpoint what problems the PFAS cause in animals and what impacts are caused by other environmental factors, Strom said. Quote, any of the impacts are going to be referred to as sublethal or subtle, he said, and that makes it even more difficult to observe and document, end quote. But it's likely that PFAS will have similar impacts to those observed in humans, such as reproductive issues, thyroid problems, or cancer. Researchers from the Environmental Working Group, in a released study on Tuesday, that's today, found that PFAS impacts on humans can be used to gauge the impact on wildlife as well. There's a much smaller body of research on how these chemicals are impacting the health of wildlife, and part of that is the difficulty of studying health impacts in wildlife populations, not in a laboratory setting, said David Andrews, one of the researchers on the study. He went on and said, and we think this human health data and our understanding of how it causes harm should be used as a way to evaluate the potential impacts on wildlife. Got to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 68. For tonight, scattered storms with a low near 60. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 67. On Thursday, partly sunny, 70 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Currently 59 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Steely Dan out on tour right now with the Eagles, opening shows for the Eagles. Man, that's got to be a great double bill, huh? Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:53 and a half right now. We got 63 degrees and cloudy skies in La Crosse, also 63 and cloudy in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing PFAS, those forever chemicals, now being found in wildlife around Wisconsin. And how dangerous is this? What if we consume some of this wildlife where the forever chemicals are now being found, like fish or deer? There's a story in the Journal Sentinel that we were going over. It says here that research shows that pretty much all animals are susceptible to the forever chemicals, but it's unclear if some species will be more impacted in the long run than others, said Tasha Stoiber, an EWG researcher. For the most part, animals that live close to humans or in the water are being found to have higher levels of PFAS because they are more often exposed to higher levels. Quote, animals that live near known sources of PFAS have higher rates. Definitely those animals are going to be more susceptible, she said. For hunters, the worry over contaminated deer is small, Strom said. There is an advisory for deer harvested near the Tyco Fire Products facility in Marinette, which says hunters shouldn't consume the livers from the animals. But other than that, there shouldn't be concerns for animals harvested where there aren't high levels of contamination. This is a site-specific concern, Strom said. But those who hunt waterfowl or fish regularly may want to check consumption advisories or if PFAS testing has been done on the water they're harvesting from, because waterfowl spend a lot of time in the water and consume fish there. There could be more cause for concern. Testing for the forever chemicals in waterfowl is underway in Wisconsin, and results are expected sometime next year in 2024, Strom said. As for anglers, checking for any fish consumption advisories is always a good idea. Consuming fish with high levels of PFAS can be just as bad, if not worse, than drinking contaminated water. So use caution in eating too many fish harvested from contaminated lakes, rivers, or streams. In short, the easiest way to prevent PFAS from getting into animals is to prevent them from getting into the environment at all. Stoiber said that the best way to keep PFAS from affecting animals is to stop the chemicals from entering the environment in the first place. The time to act is now, and those actions will benefit human health, of course, and the health of wildlife, she said. We really need to advocate for getting rid of non-essential use of PFAS, and the best strategy is to turn off the tap. So, what do you need to know about the PFAS? The PFAS, or per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, are a family of man-made chemicals used for their water and stain-resistant qualities in products like clothing and carpet, nonstick cookware, packaging, and firefighting foam. That family includes 5,000 compounds, which are persistent, remaining both in the environment and human body over time. The chemicals have been linked to types of kidney and testicular cancers, lower birth rates, harm to immune and reproductive systems, altered hormone regulation, and altered thyroid hormones. The chemicals enter the human body largely through drinking water, and those chemicals, the forever chemicals, have been found across the state of Wisconsin. Always discussing water, seems like that's one of the big issues of the day, no matter where you are in Texas or Wisconsin, right? Hey, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you learned something. Got 9:58 right now. Going to wrap it up for today. Hope you have a great day. Do something nice for someone, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. This is where I belong.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.